In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the second Sunday of Lent. We're 2 weeks in, and the church gives us readings from St. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, as well as from the Gospel according to St. Mark, in order to prepare us and strengthen us and guide us on this path of repentance that we are now traveling. And in today's gospel, we heard about the paralytic who was brought by his friends and lowered down through the roof. It says that Jesus was in this home and so many people had been drawn to him that they were crammed inside. There was absolutely no room, even by the door. And so his friends, being diligent to put their paralyzed friend before Christ, to put him into his presence, they go up on the roof and cut out a hole and lower him down so that he can be there and receive grace from Christ. Now, often in the Gospels, our Lord says and does things that surprise us, that were perhaps even shocking in the ancient world, even shocking to us when we understand the context. And they force us to see things in a different way. They change our perspective. And we need that perspective change because we are so immersed in worldly things. We are so distanced from God that we can't see things the way they are. The way that we see things is not true. The way that we assume the world to be, it is not necessarily so. So Christ comes to give us a better perspective. And he often says these shocking things in order to cause us, or does shocking things in order to cause us to change the way we see things. So the first surprising thing that our Lord does is his response to this paralytic being lowered down in front of him. When we think about this scene, I mean, if you're like me, you assume that the friends are bringing the man to Jesus so that he can be healed of his paralysis, right? That's his big problem. His big problem is the fact that he can't move. He can't support himself. He needs help for everything, not just for being brought to Jesus, but for feeding himself, for, you know, cleaning himself, all of these things. So that's what we would anticipate to be his greatest need. But Christ, when this man appears before him, doesn't say, "Rise, take up your pallet and go home." What is the first thing that he says? He says, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Son, your sins are forgiven you. And, you know, we might say, "Well, that's great, but why don't you heal his paralysis too? Like, great, wonderful. My sins are forgiven. Super." And that just shows you how distorted our worldview is. Because we see the things of this world as being the most important things. However, when you think about sin, and you think about how it keeps us away from God, how it alienates us from God, how it destroys our life in the here and now, ruining relationships, you know, giving us headaches and stress and depression and all kinds of inner turmoil. But then also how it ruins our life in the world to come. I mean, sin is a greater problem than physical paralysis. Infinitely greater problem than physical paralysis. And you know, our assumption about why the paralytic was brought to Jesus is also wrong. In the gospel, we read that our Lord was in this house, not healing people. There were other occasions where he was healing people and they brought others to be healed. This was not a healing event, so to speak. What does it say? He was preaching the word to them. He was ministering to them spiritually. And the friends and the paralytic, when they heard that the Lord was bringing this grace of his words, that's why they brought the paralytic to him. Because the paralytic knew, even better than us, what his real problem was. That he needed his soul to be healed of its spiritual paralysis. So he is lowered, and Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven you," giving him what he sought, what he longed for. But the scribes who are there, the religious leaders, who are very pious, they are thinking within themselves and criticizing and judging Jesus and saying, "Who is this guy to give forgiveness of sins? Only God can forgive sins." Our Lord Jesus then responds to them in a way that again is surprising. He responds to their thoughts, not their words, when he saw that they were reasoning so in their hearts. And he confronts them. "Why do you reason so in your hearts?" Can you imagine their surprise? Like, "We were just thinking something, and now he read our minds." He proves that he is the God who can forgive sins. Because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Jesus, as God, was looking on their hearts and proved that he is God by confronting them about their judging thoughts. He says, "Why do you reason thus in your hearts? Which is easier? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your pallet and walk'?" And this is often, you know, the point of a reading in ancient texts is nestled in the middle. That's what they like to do. And this is actually the moral of the story. This is the great matter that Christ is trying to, the point that he's trying to make. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say, "Rise, take up your pallet and walk"? Now again, I mean, I won't ask you because, you know, we all have a Christian perspective, but think of someone who doesn't know anything about Christianity. What would they say? Which is easier? To say forgiveness? Yeah, I mean, like, you're putting yourself at big risk if you say, you know, like, "I'm healing you of your paralysis." What if they don't get up? But just to say, "Oh, your sins are forgiven you," that sounds like a nice sentiment. Right? We think that that's just sort of a triviality. And that's also what the scribes thought. They thought that Jesus was some kind of con artist, some kind of huckster who was, you know, selling people false assurances of forgiveness. But Christ, when he says, "Which is easier?" his perspective is the opposite. In truth, even though it is a great miracle to heal a paralytic, it is even a greater miracle to reconcile someone to God. And by the way, in Greek, the word that is translated forgive literally means to take away. Now, it can mean take away in the sense of taking away someone's guilt, but also that word is used in the New Testament sometimes to mean to actually remove sin from the person, to free someone from sin, so that they are no longer in bondage and slavery to sin. And this is what Christ does, not just forgiving, not just reconciling to God, but removing the power of sin from our lives. And this is the greater miracle. This is what is harder. But then, in order to show them that he has the even greater power, he does the thing that they think is impossible, that they think is greatest, and he heals the paralytic. Not because it's his greatest problem, but in order to prove that his even deeper problem has been healed and can be healed by Christ. At the end of today's reading, the people respond, and it's translated here, "We never saw anything like this." Okay, and we think, well, that has to do with the man's being raised from his paralysis. We never saw anything like this. In Greek, it actually is ambiguous. The translators here have chosen one of the possible interpretations, but the church fathers go another direction with it. In Greek, it literally says that the people say, "We never saw thus," which also can mean we never saw in this way. We never saw things from this perspective, because Christ has given them a new perspective to see that the physical healing is not the hardest thing, as hard as it might seem. It's not the most important thing, but that spiritual healing, that reconciliation with God, that forgiveness of sins which Christ brings, which is of infinitely greater value. That's what we seek now during this season of Lent. That is the great salvation which St. Paul refers to in the Epistle to the Hebrews. And hearing St. Paul's words, he says, "We must pay closer attention." "We must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. For how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation?" Christ has come as our greatest and only hope. Let us not take it for granted. Let us take advantage of all of the tools the church presents us with during Lent. Fasting and prayer and works of service to others, and also confession, so that we might gain that great salvation, that greater healing which Christ has come to bring. To the glory of our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.